We may recognize this as the theme from Disney's Beauty and the Beast, performed here by the master saxophonist Dave Liebman. Liebman has been praised for his interpretation of the tune because he gets at the sentiment without being in any way sentimental. And we know that one of the most important symbols in the story of Beauty and the Beast is the rose enclosed in the bell jar. There are so many reverberations, the rose suggesting love, of course, and beauty itself, but also the sense of the passing of time, of mortality, and that which is fleeting. All these are themes that we'll encounter again soon when we meet a musician who considers Dave Liebman a true mentor, a technical giant who has so much to share, and a master improviser who sees that art, the art of improvisation, as a function of life and living. Dave Liebman told Marco Cattani in an interview that it's a natural human impulse to want to express yourself and to do it in a spontaneous way. Babies do it all the time. I think our natural way of living is to be that way. Unfortunately, as we get older, it becomes stifled by society. But to improvise is to live and to breathe. We improvise every minute. You walk across the street. Should you go or should you not go because of the lights? We're always improvising. So it's natural. And improvising with music, or it could be with words, or could be with painting, I think is a very natural thing, and it should be absolutely encouraged. Of course, a young person does it naturally. They should be encouraged to continue it as they become adults. Little did Charles Evans know when he was growing up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, playing sports and performing music in high school, that the person who would encourage him and challenge him to grow into the mature musician he would become was right here in northeastern Pennsylvania too, and that is Dave Liebman. And now the two often play side by side, as they will do on Friday, September 14th, in a concert presented by the Waverly Community House and the F. Lamont Belin Arts Foundation. Charles Evans is an American baritone saxophonist based in New York who specializes in chromatic improvisation and composition. He has 7 albums. His last 2 works, Subliminal Leaps and On Beauty, are coming to an end in this trilogy, which finishes with Mortality and Sentiment. The Charles Evans Quartet, with saxophonist and NEA jazz master Dave Liebman, pianist Ron Stabinski, and Tony Marino acoustic bass, will perform on September 14th at the Waverly Community House in Waverly. Members of this quartet were featured in the compositions we just mentioned, On Beauty, Subliminal Leaps, and the piece to come, Mortality and Sentiment. Evans is the 2015 recipient of the F. Lamont Belin Arts Scholarship, and the September 14th presentation of Mortality and Sentiment continues to demonstrate the creative fruits resulting from his Belin Award. And oh yes, we will be hearing more about those titles, On Beauty and Mortality and Sentiment. As we said, Charles Evans is based in New York, but he still sees and even plays with some of his talented friends from those early years at Lackawanna Trail High School.
The gang at Trail, Mappa Elliott and Jeff Kaluki and Eli Halogic, great drummer. This was back in the late 90s. There was Carl Schinkel. There was some good folks there that were really dedicated to music. And the late Jim Smith really had a lot to do with that. But also, in my sophomore year of college, the late J. Fred Quigley, who was actually a baritone saxophonist with the Jazz Ambassadors, J. Fred Quigley really introduced us to jazz and improvisation and just the feel and the love and the joy of swing and those key elements to improvisation and to jazz. And then the other thing, The Governor's School of the Arts in Erie was crucial for both myself, Mapa Elliott, and Eli Holudzik. We were all fortunately accepted to that five-week summer program, and it was absolutely life-changing. And I think all three of us decided to make music our lives and our, well, for some of us, our careers, but there's a reality in making a living. But I think making it our lives is more eloquently said.
You and Mapa Elliott are especially close.
We were in the marching band and the concert band and so forth, and David Elliott is actually also a good friend.
He's Mapa's dad.
He's the one that got us both into jazz with the classic hard bop albums and so forth, leading us from more of a classical upbringing in school to more of diving into the mysteries of improvisation and trying to figure out how these jazz masters were able to make this stuff up on the spot. So that was the beginnings, and incidentally, Mapa's joining me. I'm a public school teacher in Queens full-time, and Mapa's joining me in the music department at Information Technology High School next week. So we have a very long friendship that spans decades and on different levels, both personally and professionally.
When you were listening to all this jazz here, in addition to playing, as you suggested, Lackawanna Trail, were there certain players you were attracted to in those early days?
Well, it's definitely an acquired taste, and the music we're playing on September 14th at Waverly Community Center is nowhere near what I was interested in at age 17. As far as the saxophone, I really liked Boots Randolph at the beginning, which is a country saxophonist, and then David Elliott started to introduce me to people like Cannonball Adderley, Charlie Parker, which were very challenging at the time, and then I would get the Jamie Ebersold recordings and start to play along and practice improvisation. And then I went to the University of the Arts after Lackawanna Trail to fully study as a jazz performance major. And during those years is when I met Dave Liebman, which was extremely life-changing and which set up the music that we're making together today.
It's a wonderful geographical coincidence that he happens to be rooted here. But for people who don't know that he's a jazz master, an NEA certified jazz master, how would he talk about his voice with you? And what did you have to say to each other musically?
Well, the quick story from around 1998, I was studying with local saxophonist Julian Sparacino. He told me to check out Dave Liebman's master class, which he did every summer, and he had to audition for it. And so, being a young and somewhat arrogant and delusional 19-year-old, I said, oh, yes, I'll go right in there and make the master class. Well, Dave called me and said, well, you didn't cut it. you weren't quite good enough for the master class. But what he said was, and this I'll never forget this, is he said, you're not ready now, but you will be ready. If you do these things, you will be ready. And so I took that to heart, and over the next few decades, I followed his teachings and his path, and I was able to kind of just continue to grow over the years as a relationship, first as a student, and then now having him as a sideman in my jazz quartet.
How did he direct you then?
The beginnings were to learn the jazz language and to improvise on standards and so forth, which is just the beginnings of a solid foundation. There was a very strict transcription pedagogy that Liebman recommended that I do, transcribing and learning exactly Sonny Rollins solos, John Coltrane solos, and really learn right from the masters. Then as I grew further, I started to get interested in composing and some of the 20th century composers such as Schoenberg, Charles Ives, Bartok, and more dissonant composers. And Dave Liebman's music, a lot of it, especially in the 80s with Richie Bayrak, was a very kind of improvising in essentially a 20th century classical style. So he's able to figure out a way to improvise in a very complex way. I thought that was very interesting. But the reality is when you're a jazz improviser, I always try to get the music on the highest level possible. And so when I'm playing with the likes of course, Dave Liebman and Ron Stabinski on piano and Tony Marino on bass, I'm the fourth in line in level, at least in my opinion, and that's going to get the music at the highest level possible, which I like. But I had to leave room for a lot of improvisation, especially for those three individuals, but also myself, because the reality is, as a jazz musician, you're an improviser. And so this third piece, which kind of completes a trilogy for this jazz chamber quartet, I found probably the most developed in terms of my composition, in terms of a non-tonal 20th century classical chromatic language, which is kind of the most advanced stuff that Dave Liebman has offered the lineage of jazz.
Also, you have mentioned in your biography that teaching helps you do what you do the way you want to do it.
Right. Teaching is a way, and I think Liebman went through, there's parallels in both our careers. He had mentioned at some point in the 80s, he was thinking about leaving music, but he started teaching and he realized that that was a way to give back and not to be so self-centered in your artistic pursuits. And incidentally, so I've been teaching 10 years in the public school, and one of my very first students, a young man named David Jimenez, great jazz drummer, is actually going to be opening the set on September 14th. He's going to bring his piano trio from New York, and so that night's going to be special in many ways, but it's almost several levels and generations of mentorship. So we have David, and then I'm actually turning 40 September 6th, so I'm in the middle. And then, so David Jimenez will open, my student, and then I'll be playing alongside my mentor, Dave Liebman, for the finale of the night. And it's just kind of a beautiful thing of kind of giving forward, and also a tribute to the late pianist Wayne Smith, which we are dedicating the night to.
He's sorely missed already, really.
Right.
And Charles, there is something interesting you have quoted in one of your blog posts, and you have titled one of your compositions on beauty. And how do you talk about beauty and jazz, and why would you pick that as a title?
Well, On Beauty is the second work that I created with Stravinsky, Marino, and Liebman. The first one was Subliminal Leaps, and then we did On Beauty. And I was contemplating what was beautiful in art and in music, and who decides that, and ultimately the artist decides it, because this is a very individual thing. And so I was searching for what was beautiful on the baritone saxophone. I thought that the altissimo register, which is the highest notes of the baritone saxophone, could be quite beautiful when approached musically. And incidentally, one thing that Liebman and I also have in common are our dedications to some of the more obscure saxophones. He decided to focus on the soprano saxophone, and he dropped the tenor saxophone for 15 years to really make it like his third arm, to really make it very unique and individual. And I saw an opportunity to do that with the baritone, especially when I started studying with him. I decided to kind of pursue the baritone and really, really make it my own and really, really make it special. So I don't play any of the other saxophones, and I feel like that is the most beautiful thing that I can contribute to music. But that's the last piece. The upcoming piece is entitled Mortality and Sentiment, and a guitarist by the name of Eric Dutko is a very good friend of mine. He's actually from Avoca, Pennsylvania. And he once eloquently told me that two of the most important attributes of great art are the artist's awareness of their mortality and their expression of their deepest sentiment. And I said, well, I think that's pretty profound and something to think about. And so when writing this piece for the Beelan Art Scholarship, I wanted to see if I could put my own awareness of my mortality and some deepest sentiment within this composition, finishing the trilogy with this chamber quartet. And so I'm engaged to be married next year, and the second movement is dedicated, and sentiment is dedicated to my fiance Jenna, and that is a way of getting some real life sentiment within this final work for this quartet.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to ask you about the mortality part then.
Well, the mortality is simply, it's a little ironic or coincidental that we are dedicating this to Wayne Smith, but it has nothing to do with him. It's just an artist's awareness of their own mortality and what to do with that. and where to put that angst, perhaps, or where to put that awareness. And art is probably the best place, in my opinion, to put it. And I think if you listen to some late string quartets from Beethoven, or if you listen to anything Coltrane, I feel like there's maybe some eloquent, tender Keith Jarrett, or any of these true masters of the music, I feel like there's an awareness that they're not here forever, and they better get to it. Or Dave Liebman, there's angst in his music. There's that kind of post-Coltrane cry in his music, and that's what I mean by that.
Let me ask you what the Beelen scholarship then contributed to the realization of this music.
Well, yeah, special thanks to Maria Wilson and all the artistic folks on the panel for giving me this opportunity to actualize this music, because the reality is there's a financial burden in hiring the musicians and recording them. After the gig on September 14th, we're recording that very next week. And so to pay the musicians and then record and mix the music and promote it, publicize it, and press it, there isn't too much money coming back these days in buying CDs or digital recordings or whatever the media is of the time. And so you're going to need some sort of financial support. So I was very fortunate to be able to cover those costs with the Beelen Art Scholarship from Waverly.
Charles Evans, a native of northeastern Pennsylvania, a baritone saxophonist based in New York who specializes in chromatic improvisation and composition, and 2015 recipient of the F. Lamont Beelen Arts Scholarship. He will perform with his quartet on Friday, September 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Waverly Community House in the auditorium, and he will present the third part of his trilogy, and that is Mortality and Sentiment. We're hearing music from On Beauty. The Charles Evans Quartet features Charles Evans and the jazz master Dave Liebman, also Ron Stubinsky, who is a pianist and a recipient of F. Lamont Beelen Arts Scholarship. 2008 was his year, and Tony Marino on bass. The Waverly Community House and the F. Lamont Beelen Arts Foundation presenting an evening of art and jazz Friday, September 14th. The evening will begin at 5 o'clock with an opening reception at the Waverly Small Works Gallery, and it will be an exhibition by regional artist and F. Lamont Beelen Arts scholar William Chiquillo. The exhibit is titled Baseball Dreams. They Played the Game, an homage to the game, and it's a series of works showcasing the players from northeastern Pennsylvania who helped shape that game. The reception is open to the public at no charge. The exhibit will run through the World Series. Then the concert will follow the reception, and the concert gets underway at 7:30 in the Calm Auditorium, featuring the Charles Evans Quartet with Charles Evans, Dave Liebman, Ron Stubinsky, and Tony Marino, and the work Mortality and Sentiment, the third part of the trilogy created by Charles Evans, the 2015 F. Lamont Beelen Arts Scholarship recipient.
Bye.
music from On Beauty, one of three compositions by Charles Evans that form a trilogy, Subliminal Leaps, On Beauty, and Mortality and Sentiment, to be presented on September 14th, that's a Friday evening at 7:30 at the Waverly Community House in Waverly. For more information, on the web, waverlycom.org, waverlycomm, waverlycom.org.